It's the Leap Year episode 366 of the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports and Media Group. And it is a dreary day here in Michigan. Lord knows I took a bit of a long nap. Part of that is induced by the fact that I bought some exercise equipment. So I got my first strength training workout in since February, and that was brutal. So it's a necessary evil at this point. Anyway, Saturday, I've got an episode going late, but you know, it is what it is. I'm going to delve into some Ghost of Tsushima here soon. But first, we are going to talk about a couple different things. We have an awesome show for you in the sense that we have a special guest. He'll be up in the middle. I talked to him earlier today. We recorded it. Andrell Anthony, Michigan's newest commit, will be here on the show to discuss why he picked Michigan over MSU, at his bond with the players. Really great stuff from him. We didn't have a ton of time. I was in the car as well, but we got that knocked out. So we'll hear from him. At the end, we're going to talk about, what a day for Trey Burke and both him and Tim Hardaway Jr. A decent day for Duncan Robinson today. But I want to talk more about that Dallas game, which I watched the latter half of yesterday. But the first thing we're going to get to, we're going to have to do this relatively quick if we're going to fit it into one segment. But I revisited my 10 bold predictions that I made back in March. I made it March 10th. Everything started shutting down March 12th. So I want to get back to, I stand by all 10, but I had to revisit some of them. So I revisited them on Wolverines Wire. You can check that out at wolverineswire.usatoday.com. But let's get to this, everything that I had predicted was going to happen and how I feel about it now. Number one, the offense will look more like it did against MSU and Indiana, but all season long. You know what? I think that is still going to be accurate because, again, the same thing that I talked about before, having a returning coordinator and a quarterback that has been on campus, because that's only happened once in the Jim Harbaugh era, 2016. If you want a reminder, Jake Rudock and Jed Fish, first year together. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh's first year. Second year, 2016, offense was high-flying. They called off the dogs by the second half most games. That was Wilton Spate, who was the backup to Jake Rudock the year beforehand, won the starting job, still with Jed Fish. 2017, you started with Wilton Spate, ended up with John O'Korn and Brandon Peters, but you also had Pep Hamilton as the new guy. 2018, you still had Pep Hamilton, but you brought in Shea Patterson. 2019, you still had Shea Patterson, but you brought in Josh Gattis. Not a lot of continuity. And I think that the offense just started figuring out what it needed to do. I mean, part of that's on Shea, but a lot of it is on all the other players as well, knowing their jobs, what they're capable of. So I think that this offense is going to be really high-flying no matter who the quarterback is. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be LSU last year or Oklahoma in most years, but it's going to look a lot more dynamic than what we are accustomed to seeing at Michigan. Number two, I said there will be no clear frontrunner at running back. I kind of recanted on this a little bit because I think that Zach Charbonnet is going to be your guy. I think that it's one, Zach Charbonnet, a close to with Hassan Haskins. I'll say even say Hassan Haskins and Chris Evans are more tied at two. Then Christian Turner and Blake Corum are probably somewhat tied behind them. I think that Zach Charbonnet, based off of a conversation that I had with someone, was just scratching the surface. I mean, that might be the case for Hassan Haskins too, but I just think that he is going to show you why he was such a high-end running back in that 2019 recruiting class. I think that you're going to see that this year. Number three, Nico Collins will cement himself as a first-round NFL draft pick. I mean, if he gets to play, yes. I still think that that'll be the case. I think Nico Collins is an incredible talent, and he just needs to... I think he'll be more likely to thrive if he has Joe Milton, because I think Joe Milton is more of a thrower. But, you know, Dylan McCaffrey is no slouch there either. So I think that that'll be, I think that that'll definitely come to fruition. Number four, the defense will look more like 2016 and 2017 than 2019. And I don't think that I'm really going out on a limb here with that one, because 2019, Michigan finished 11th in the country, total defense. Every other year, and under Don Brown, actually under Jim Harbaugh, so that even goes back to the DJ Durkin era, it's been a top four defense. So I think that they will, I think that'll be the case. I think they'll get back into, I think it's crazy when you read ESPN and they're doing future defense and they have Michigan defense ranked like 19th. I think that's insane, especially because you got 2 5-stars on this defense in Daxton Hill and Chris Hinton. You've got, for this year, you still have high-end 4-stars like Ambry Thomas, Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, Carlo Kemp was a 4-star. And, you know, I mean, Cam McGrum was a 5-star, according to 24/7 Sports. So, I mean, there's just a lot of talent. I mean, the linebacking core is going to be great. I mean, the secondary is going to... I mean, I just think that it's all should uptick. I feel like last year was an aberration, and for some reason, Michigan never gets that benefit of the doubt, but yet Penn State tends to. Penn State has, like, a really good year, and everyone's like, oh, here comes Penn State. I know memories are short in college football, but I look at trends, like I've said before. Number five, pass rush will once again be particularly daunting. I do think that's going to be the case. I'm a little bit more emboldened in that with Kwity Paye having been named to the Athletic's freaks list as the number one guy. And you still have him and Aiden Hutchinson. Again, Carlo Kemp returning, Chris Hinton. I feel a lot better. And then you've got a good rotation too, because you've got, I'd say, 3 or 4 other defensive ends that will probably see time. I'll actually include Braden McGregor, the true freshman, in that. But otherwise, I mean, you've got Luigi Villain, Taylor Upshaw, David Ajabo. I think that you've got some really good ends. Maybe in the middle, it's a little bit less clear whether Donovan Jeter comes to Mozzie Smith, and whoever else they end up putting there in the middle. Number six, 6 freshmen will become impact players in year one. I stand by that one as well. I think the 2 receivers, Roman Wilson and AJ Henning, will definitely be in heavy use. I think that it might take them a minute, but they will be. I think some of the other guys that were early enrollees, I didn't even mention Andre Seldon, which is stupid of me. I don't know how I forgot about Andre Seldon. I didn't even include him in my list. But Andre Seldon's going to get some play, I think, at nickel. I mentioned RJ Moten and Jordan Morant. Jordan Morant is just, I see his workout videos and I'm just enticed. But then we hear about RJ Moten doing these 50-mile bike rides all the time. Dual sport guy, Jim Harbaugh, told me that he's the, you know, he's a guy that's impressed. Makari Page is an early enrollee. Don Brown is really excited about Kalel Mullings and Blake Corum, who I mentioned earlier. So I think that that's, you're going to have a lot of contributors as freshmen, which I think is fine, because that's kind of how college football is trending more and more. Even if Michigan isn't, I think you can use those first guys a little bit more. Number 7, Eric Hall and Mike Sanders still will reemerge. They were the talk of spring last year, and then they didn't really do anything during the season. Eric Hall, like I mentioned, up 25 pounds or so of pure muscle. Looks like an absolute behemoth. I've seen the picture. It's insane. Or a picture sent to me, which was insane. Sanders still, I just feel, based off of some conversations I had with some other people, that he had just kind of hit a freshman slump once the season came around and wasn't quite as great. But I think that they'll both come around. Number 8, the kicking game will not be a problem all year long. Quinn Nordine was down in, I think the competition between Nordine and Jake Moody has been beneficial, but then Nordine was down in Florida throughout the pandemic, which means I mistagged him when I thought I saw him at the Black Lives Matter March. But I think that Nordine is going to be your guy. I think he's going to be ready to go. I think he's got settled between the ears. He's an ambitious guy. I remember he told me a couple years ago, it would have been going into his sophomore season, that his goal was to break all the kicking records at Michigan. Obviously, that looks unlikely at this juncture, but, I mean, very well possible. Number nine, Michigan's road woes will be significantly lessened. I think that that's, I mean, that all depends, because really there's only one road game now that truly scares me. Now that's a Big Ten only schedule. There's no Washington on the schedule. And that game is Ohio State. Minnesota, we'll see about that. But otherwise, I mean, Rutgers, whatever. Who else do they play on the road? That might be it as of right now. They might add like an Iowa or an Illinois. We'll see. Finishing us out, number 10, fan consternation will continue. I definitely stand by that one. Until Michigan beats Ohio State, it's kind of hard to predict them to do much or for fans to be too excited. The good news is you might be getting that out of the way a lot earlier this year than some other years, according to Columbus Dispatch. So that is what it is. Those are my 10 bold predictions revisited. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Before we get to Andrell Anthony and then talking about a little bit of basketball, which will probably be relatively short at the end, I got to tell you, rockauto.com, it always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, rockauto.com. Prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. The same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Well, I spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in there. How did you hear about us? Box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, and as promised, here in the second segment of the Locked On Wolverines podcast, we have a special guest. You know him as the guy from East Lansing who just decided, after months of people thinking he was going to Michigan State, committed to Michigan on Friday. That's wide receiver Andrell Anthony. Andrell, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you coming on here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's awesome.
Of course, man. So let's talk a little bit about what, you know, how did this go for you as far as the recruitment? I know that last time that you and I talked was back in, I believe it was in February, and Michigan was on a full court press. Well, I should say they were watching you do a full court press. They were coming to your basketball game. Yeah, they were all over you. Things seemed to trail off. You seem to be leaning Michigan State. At least that's what the experts at 24/7 Sports thought until just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Could you walk me through your recruitment a little bit? Like, what, you know, what happened? What made you choose Michigan? And was there a perceived change going from Michigan State to Michigan?
Well, it's kind of weird just because, like, with the whole virus thing and all that stuff like that, it's definitely very interesting, especially – Michigan State's case, I haven't really been able to like talk to staff like that or whatever like that. You can only do so much like through the phone and stuff like that. But Michigan, I mean, I've been able to grow a bond, a relationship with them since my sophomore year. So that's been like very strong all the time. I mean, we kind of fell off in like texting all the time, But I mean, we still contacted about like once or twice a week, stuff like that. But like my heart's always been in Michigan. I mean, being able to be able to play for them, compete is a dream come true.
Now, it was there was obviously a couple different factions at Michigan that really kind of helped reel you in. I know that Josh Gattis and you had been really close. Same with you and Sharone Moore. Before we get to the other contingent that I want to talk about there, what has been that bond that you formed with the coaching staff?
Well, definitely just them seeing something in me very early, like before a lot of big-time universities did. I mean, they're like one of the first big programs to offer me, so that meant a lot as well. I mean, they also really just said I have a lot of potential and they're going to get everything out of me that they can, stuff like that. And I mean, I trust them. I believe that they'll make me the best player and young man off the field. So
you obviously have that bond that's been going back for a couple of years with some of those guys. Gattis, a little bit less so, but what I've noticed, particularly on social media, and this is one of the things on the podcast a couple of days ago when things seemed to be trending for Michigan, for you. I had mentioned that you seem to have formed a bond with not just the current class, but like, you know, you've got guys like Giles Jackson that have been, hard after you. I believe you told EJ Holland from Rivals yesterday that you called him the director of recruiting.
Director of recruiting. Yep.
and, you know, even, you know, guys like Xavier Worthy, and these are also guys at your position group. What does that mean to you? And how much of a bond have you formed with some of these guys that are either already in Ann Arbor or are going to be coming to Ann Arbor? How much did that play an impact?
I mean, it's great because, I mean, I'm going to be with them for a lot of the time because I'm going there to play football, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's awesome that I'm meeting my teammates and stuff like that, getting an edge type of thing because I want to go there day one just, like, lost type of thing. But I mean, it's also great because we have a great receiving corps and, like we all get along very good. You know, we're going to be competing and stuff like that, but that's a good problem to have, especially when you have so many good receivers. That's why you can't guard all of them. So you can't double team everybody. So it should be pretty cool.
Now that's an exciting prospect when you talk about the fact that you can't guard everybody. Four receivers in this class. You are the fourth one to join. We kind of know, granted, you're something of a household name in Michigan recruiting because you've been around for, you and I talked for the first time over a year ago. But at the same time, there's the other guys, we kind of have a more, I would say in some ways, well-rounded view of what they bring to the table in that, you know, you talk about Xavier Worthy, and he runs a 10.5 100-meter dash. Christian Dixon is another fast guy. Marcus Allen is more of your tall possession receiver. What could you explain what your game is for those who maybe haven't clicked on the huddle film? What you bring to the table, so they're just to get kind of entice Michigan fan that's listening that maybe isn't as deep in recruiting.
Well, definitely, I have a lot of versatility at receiver. I'm a high school, like I play a lot of slot and outside. I have a lengthy frame. I'm long. I mean, I can run fast. My strengths are definitely speed, length, like a large catch radius, and probably like route running outside. So, and just being able to go up for jump balls and just playmaking ability. So, yeah, that's that.
I think that definitely is something that Michigan fans will be excited about, especially, again, how are they going to guard all of you? It just seems close to impossible. Last thing for you. Now, having talked to you before, I know that you really like the basketball side. Are you going to petition Juwan Howard to give you a shot to show what you can do on the hardwood at all?
Yeah, he's open to it. I mean, Coach Harbaugh has talked to him. He's talked to him a few times. Not even just Coach Harbaugh. Coach Gattis told me he did, too. This is a while back. So, I mean, he's open to it. And, like, I talked to Harbaugh a few days ago. today, Saturday. I talked to him Wednesday, and he was like, yeah, I mean, he's open to it. He's come to open gym, stuff like that. So that would be pretty interesting. There'd just be a lot of people pulling me different directions, but, I mean, it's a good problem to have.
So this has actually been talked about. This isn't just because when I was expecting you to say, it was like, yeah, I'm going to see if he'll give me a shot. But this is something you guys have actually talked about, is getting you a shot to play basketball at Michigan.
Yeah. Yes. Cool.
That's pretty awesome. You said you've talked to Juwan. What's your relationship? Have you formed a relationship with him at all? Or
not really. I've talked to him like once or twice, just seeing how it's going, stuff like that. He was letting me know that the option is definitely open if I wanted to do that, do both as well. Because actually, like one of my best friends, Kobe Bufkin, is committed to Michigan for basketball. So that was pretty cool too, because he's going to play basketball and I'm going to play football. So it's awesome.
Well, you've got relationships all over the place.
Everywhere.
Sounds exactly like you were set up for Michigan. Cause that's one of the things that, as a Michigan alum myself, I can say that the relationships you build are a big part of the university. So, exactly, dude. I absolutely love that. I saw you tweeted that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I appreciate you coming on and joining the podcast. Excellent stuff as always, and we're excited to see you in the Maize and Blue. Unfortunately, we got to wait like a year, and that's gonna be a hard thing to do.
For sure.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
That was Michigan commitment, the newest Michigan commitment, Andrew Anthony, who committed to the Wolverines on Friday over Michigan State. Got a little bit of hate going around East Lansing, he told me, already. Sorry about the audio quality. That was me in the car. Getting it done, though, for you guys. All right, let's talk here in a moment. We're going to talk about Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway, what they were able to do for the Dallas Mavericks against the Houston Rockets. All right, so I tuned in last night. I got done with my workout, dead tired because, like I said, I haven't done any strength training since February. I'm weak, man. I am weak right now. Like, I am lifting at most half of what I used to be lifting. But at least I got weights. That was hard. That was an uphill battle. I don't know if any of you have tried to do that at all during the quarantine. But finding, you know, actually, like, I found a barbell, I found some plates. That's where actually I was on my way when I was talking to Andrel. I managed to score 245-pound plates from Dix.com that I had to go pick up in Brighton. How they had them all of a sudden, I don't know, but they did. It was like 3 a.m. and I was like, let's just check. I don't know why. So that's where I talked to Andrel, was on the road to Brighton. But anyhow, I get up, and the first thing I hear, it's almost halftime, is Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr. with 19 points apiece, and it's not even halftime. And it's like, wait a second, what am I missing? I didn't even know that Trey Burke left Philadelphia for the Mavericks. This was his first game with Dallas, now that it's the NBA's in the bubble and everything. And he's out there balling out. He went, I don't have the stats right in front of me right this second. I'll get them here. But, I mean, he went nuts yesterday. I mean, just absolutely nuts. 31 points, that much I know offhand. I mean, and Tim Hardaway at 24, he didn't score until late. But, I mean, really just amazing that he was able to come back and have that type of game. It was a season high. I mean, listen, he's had 20-something point games here and there. But, I mean, it was at the point in the third quarter that the announcers were like, we already know who gets the game ball for this game, and it's Trey Burke. Unfortunately, because he played 30 minutes, but they took him out relatively early in the fourth quarter. They didn't put him back in because obviously they put Seth Curry in there. They didn't put Trey back in until 2 minutes left in overtime. And the Mavericks had like a, they were nursing like a 10, 11, 13 point lead throughout and then made some mistakes. Really, really good play by Covington to get with a missed foul shot, and he got the putback to tie the game. They were down three at the line. James Harden hit the first one, missed the second one. Covington put it back, and that's what put them to overtime. So, nonetheless, Trey Burke, 30 minutes, went 11 for 16 total, 8 for 10 from 3 for 31 points. Second most on the Mavericks, behind only Kristaps Porzingis, who went 13 for 26. So, like, and played for 9 more minutes. Much higher volume for Porzingis, right? So, incredible. He also had 6 assists. He had 1 steal, 1 rebound. It was plus, and the plus minus was plus 9 on the floor. Hardaway played 41 minutes. I mean, you expect Hardaway to have a good game, right? Maybe not necessarily always, but like, he's a starter. Had 24 points on the game. If you look at what Tim Hardaway has tended to do in a lot of these games, I mean, he gets points. I mean, you have to go back, obviously, but 14 points in his last game, 20 the points before points the game before, 30 against the Pacers. You know, he was getting points, but Trey Burke just went off. That, like I said, his high for the season. The most he had scored was back playing John Beilein's Cleveland Cavaliers in an absolute blowout back in, I believe it was January. It was December. He put up 21 points, but that was it for the season, right? So, I mean, I'm kind of curious what his, how much, I mean, it's the first time he's gone off and like that in forever. He had 31 points in November of 2018. That was the last time that he went off like that. And in that game, he was 11 for 20, went 1 of 7 for 3. So, I mean, he just couldn't miss. I love it, seeing this guy recapture some of that magic. We know he can play, and any given day, he can do that. So hopefully Dallas gives him that type of chance and puts him in there more and more. Because, I mean, what an incredible performance for Trey Burke to kind of come out of nowhere and off the bench and have that type of game. Very reminiscent of his Michigan days. Just couldn't miss. The last time he scored more than 31 points, by the way, was April 2018. In an overtime loss to Charlotte, he had 42 points. Went 3 of 9 from 3. But dude could barely miss yesterday. So, NBA, kind of interesting. I haven't watched it all today. But I know Duncan Robinson, I believe he had like 12 points or something like that today. I can't remember offhand, but obviously trying to keep you all abreast of what Michigan guys are doing. Duncan Robinson, who is a starter now for the Heat, had 17 points. But he only went 3 of 7 from 3. So Trey out-threed him. It happens. All right, we'll be back next week. Obviously, mailbag, 2 more shows, and we'll get to it. So thanks for listening. We will see you then. Peace.